Hello and welcome to Docupied, a podcast about anime, manga, light novels, and industry news. I'm your host, Brandon, otherwise known as Doc Pay. And for the final episode of the year, this is going to be my 2021 anime in review episode. I did a kind of yearly recap last year, right at the end of the year, and I kind of liked it, so I figure I'll do something similar again to close out this year. This was another odd year. Circumstances in the world have really not shifted too much from last year, and so there's been a lot of difficulties and challenges within the anime industry, even more than usual. But anyway, this year, there was a lot of shows that I liked. Some shows that I didn't watch that I do still want to get to. And so, like last year, I'm going to be going through each season, and I'll talk about my favorites from that season, the biggest surprises, and some runner-up special mentions. If I don't happen to talk about your favorite or least favorite show, or some show you were expecting me to talk about, well, just don't worry about it. I may have watched it, and I may have enjoyed it. Or if it's on my list of shows that I didn't watch but do still want to, then I'll talk about that at the end. And of course, there was no way I watched every show every season, but I think I did watch quite a lot, same as I do every year. And so this is my focus on the me, very subjective list, 2021 anime in review. I'm sure this might be very different from yours, or it could be the same, who knows, we all have different tastes. And so there's all of your warnings. This is subjective, specifically for me, and what I enjoyed and was surprised by this year. Okay, let's jump into winter. Honestly, so much happened this year for me in my own personal life that when I was going through what aired in different seasons this year and I was looking through winter, I just could not believe that was this year. It feels like such a long time ago at this point. So let's jump right in. My favorites of the season. After looking through and kind of thinking about everything, there really was kind of just one like standout favorite of mine, and that would be season 3 of Log Horizon, Destruction of the Round Table. I love Log Horizon. I've read the novels, love those. I'm just a really big fan of Log Horizon, the writing. I have not done an episode on it yet, weirdly enough, I'm, like, dedicated to it, but I will. So at the start of this year, it was a real great way to start things off with a new season of one of my favorite series. Something that surprised me was Back Arrow. The writer and staff on the show had me interested, and so I guess it's not quite a surprise so much as I was surprised it was any good. Or rather, that's not fair to the staff, but I was surprised that it was as interesting as it was, and the story and characters kind of continued to make sense, even though it was kind of insane in a good way. And then for some special mentions, it would have to be the myriad list of manga and light novel adaptations that season. Stuff like Cells at Work season 2. I loved Cells at Work. I thought season 2 was great, as well as Code Black. It was really nice watching the main show and Code Black each week. That was quite enjoyable. But there were new seasons or seasons of a ton of different works. So there was a season of ReZero. That time I got reincarnated as a slime. Dr. Stone. So I'm a Spider So What. Mushoku Tensei got its first season. Horimiya. Other Side Picnic. Quintessential Quintuplets. The second season of that. And then a couple other like light novel adaptations. One I've even talked about on the podcast when it was airing, the Last Dungeon Boonies. All in all, it was a season of adaptations and sequels, which isn't bad. I quite enjoyed all of them. Some of those are some of my favorite light novels or manga, and it was nice to see the anime versions. Okay, moving on to spring. Spring was kind of another season of adaptations. But no matter. So my favorites from spring. That would be Thunderbolt Fantasy Sword Seekers 3. I love Thunderbolt Fantasy. I've probably talked about it a few times on the podcast and way back when, but I absolutely love Thunderbolt Fantasy. It's a great show. The puppetry is fantastic. The story is engaging. The characters are interesting, well-written. I can't get enough of Thunderbolt Fantasy, and I'm excited for whatever they do next season. And then there was the first season of 86. This is a light novel adaptation. I'll probably talk about it on the podcast at some point. I have actually not read the light novels. I do own them, and I've watched, you know, the first season and now up to date with the second. And I'll probably at some point dive in and read the light novels because it's so good. But the anime is fantastic, or the first season was easily a favorite in that season. It was really great, stellar show. And by all accounts from things I've heard and read from people who have read the light novel, that it is a fantastic and even in some cases builds on the light novels. Then for the surprises, and this is also a favorite, it was also kind of a surprise for a reason, but it was Megalobox Season 2 Nomad. I loved Season 1. I thought it was really great. It's not like a favorite, you know, top 10 favorite show of mine or anything, but I did really like it and thought it was really good. But also it ended. It finished. The story was over. It didn't need additional story or seasons. And so in that regard, it was a surprise. The fact that Season 2 came out and blew me away. And I think it was maybe even stronger than the first season. And that's why it's under the surprises, but also favorite. It was just fantastic. I was blown away every week by how good it was, especially for a show that I didn't see where they were going to go or what they could do from there, but they did it, and it was amazing. Next up under surprises, this is another light novel adaptation, but I didn't think I'd enjoy it as much as I ended up enjoying it. I have not dove into the light novels yet. I have such a huge list of things I'm already reading and want to read that it's not super high on my list to read, but I did really enjoy the anime, which was The Saint's Magic Power is Omnipotent. It was such a nice, comfy show. A little bit of romance, some isekai world building, a little bit of magic, a little more bit of romance. It was nice. It was different from your general isekai fare because it was definitely more of a, I hate to call it like shoujo-esque, but it was more shoujo-esque with female main character focused more on building character relations, particularly with a bunch of amazing, varied, hunky dudes, and it was nice. I enjoyed it. And then I'm going to call this one a runner-up, or a special mention, which is How Not to Summon a Demon Lord Omega. When that show aired, it was definitely a big surprise for me how much I enjoyed it. It is also a light novel adaptation. I really like this show. I think it's really surprisingly well done for a show that's all about tits and ass. And this season continued that in both aspects, being well written and crafted with interesting characters and world, and also having amazing tits and ass. I mean, yeah, it is what it is. It's great. I've actually talked about another series, a light novel written by the same author, which is Altina. And it's no surprise that they're both really good, well-crafted stories. One of them just has way more tits and ass, and that's fine. So we're calling it a runner-up just because I knew I was going to really like it, and it was good, and I enjoyed it. And yeah, that's everything I have for spring, which means next up, we have the summer season. I think I actually somewhat recently did an episode on the summer season because it was like the middle of fall and I did an episode about summer, and in it, and this still holds true now, honestly, it was not a very strong season overall, at least in terms of things that I was interested in and watched. So we've got my favorite from the season was My Next Life as a Villainess, All Routes Lead to Doom X, which is season 2. I've talked about that series, both the light novel and the anime, so if you've listened to any of my previous episodes about it, I love Bakarina. I think she's a great protagonist. I think the story is interesting. the gimmick and setup is cool. It flounders a little between arcs, or rather, after it completes the main story arc up through the graduation event, and after that it kind of didn't know what to do for a little while, which is kind of what this season 2 covers, the material. But it's still, Bakarina is better than no Bakarina, and yeah, it was probably the show I looked forward to most. Next up we have the surprise of the season for me, was The Dungeon of Black Company. I didn't think I'd enjoy that show as much as I did, or rather I really had no idea anything about it. I know it is based on a manga that I have not read, and so I really had no expectations going in, and I really enjoyed it. It got a laugh out of me, and as things built up over the season, I really enjoyed watching the antics of the cast and just things blowing up in everyone's faces all the time. It was enjoyable. It's a pretty good comedy. I would say your enjoyment of it is probably dependent on your sense of humor. If you watched the first episode and didn't find any of it funny or humorous, stop right there. It's not for you. And that's fine. That's why this is my personal 2021 anime in review. So I enjoyed it. Runner-up would be the season 2, part 2 of Slime, or that time I got reincarnated as a slime. I love the light novels. The anime does a pretty good job adapting the story overall. It's nice to watch. It's not too bad. They do a pretty good job. And yeah, it was consistent. I liked watching it. Which leads us into fall. Now, this season is technically still ongoing, finishing, wrapping up. A number of shows have finished by now. There are obviously going to be shows that will continue or have additional episodes after this, but whatever, we're going to talk about fall now. So, favorites. I'm going to start off with The Restaurant to Another World, Season 2. I have talked about the light novels and the first season on this podcast, so it should be no surprise that I love the show and the light novels. They're comfy. They're about food and cooking and eating and enjoying food. The world building, as always, is very interesting. The character interactions, both inside and outside of the restaurant, are compelling. And it gets even better in season 2 as more and more of the characters intersect. And we learn more and more about the outside world outside of Nekoya. And it's really great. This season, I think, was even better than the first, really. Because they had established a number of characters that they could intersect and play off of and develop further. It was a great season. It was super comfy every week. I made sure I had food or had already eaten when I watched it every week, because that is definitely important on a food show, especially with things that, or dishes that I'm definitely able to make or acquire myself. And so it's just another great season, and that's why it's one of my favorites. Next up we have two shows that I'm going to call both favorites and surprises, as well as probably my personal anime of the year. So first, and the show is ongoing, so it's not finished, and I don't like putting unfinished things in lists like this or talking about them before they're over, generally, at least in terms of anime, but it's Ranking of Kings. This was a complete surprise to me. I had never read the manga or heard of it, and a couple weeks in, I heard a little bit of buzz about it, and I was like, all right, let me check it out, and watch, I think it was the first 4 episodes or so, and it blew me away. It's fantastic. It subverts all my expectations, or plays into them in interesting ways. The animation and storytelling are stellar. It really is one of the best shows of the year already, and it's not yet finished. I'm really excited for where it's going to go from here. It's fantastic. Do not skip it. I really can't recommend it enough. It's so good. And because it's ongoing, I'm not going to, you know, talk too much about it in terms of plot, but Boji is such a sweetheart main character, along with Kage, and they make a great pair. All of the characters are incredibly complex, have multitudes of motivations. Nothing is ever quite as it seems, either in a good or bad way, in terms of character doing good or bad things, not negative as in like, oh, that's shit writing, because it's not. It's fantastic. It's such a strongly written series with fantastic, like a fantastic adaptation. The director and the whole team behind it are doing amazing work on this. They took something I'd never heard of, a manga that I'd never read, and they're crafting this beautiful, wonderful, like Ghibli-esque, storybook-esque, Level 5-esque anime. It's so good. It feels both classic and modern. Next is the other surprise slash favorite, and also possibly my personal anime of the year. I'm going to maybe need to stew on everything, but I think it's at least the top contender right now, and that is the Heike story, or Heike Monogatari. I am familiar with the original work. I read it as part of my Japanese classics studies in college. Doesn't mean I remember everything about it now, but I have read it, I have studied it, so I am passingly familiar with the original work and story, and the history surrounding it. But the Heike Monogatari is very foundational in Japanese literature. If you've never heard of it, go look it up. It has been likened to something like the Odyssey of Japan, or like the Iliad and Odyssey of Japan. It tells the story of the fall of the Taira clan, otherwise known as the Heike. It's set during the Genpei War in the 12th century of Japan, and it is, like I said, about the fall of the Taira clan and their clashes and war with the Minamoto clan for control of Japan. It is a very culturally ingrained classic story. Many, many people, or most, I would say, probably all Japanese people learn about it in school to some degree. How much they remember or know about it, that's another story, obviously. It's no different here, but it is significant. And this anime adaptation of it is beautiful. It is by Sayansaru, directed by Naoki Yamada, formerly of Kyoto Animation. And it's beautiful. It is harrowing. It inserts a character called Biwa as our main character, who we follow throughout the story. And she is there to somewhat symbolize the role that Biwa performers played in passing the story down throughout history, but is also the observer and audience-esque insert character throughout the story. So she is not in the original, and her addition is fantastic, in my opinion. I loved what they did with her, especially towards the end, and how she comes to terms with her role as the chronicler of the fall of the Taira clan, of the Heike. I thought it was really interesting the way that they wrote her in and crafted her character arc in the context of the history of the Heike Monogatari. And as a story, you know, the history is known. That might not be true for, we'll say, people watching this outside of Japan. You might not actually know the history or recognize the historical figures in the show the way that a Japanese person would. And I can't say I do in the same vein either, because I learned about it, the story, in college. So I'm much less culturally ingrained in this stuff. But even so, even with all of that, the context of the show aside, it is a beautiful piece of animation and character writing. It is definitely obtuse in terms of some of the characters and political maneuverings going on within the context of the plot, but I think the beauty of the story is that it really wants to tell a human story of the characters, and so that is where the primary focus of the actual adaptation is. It's on the characters, what they were feeling and doing, and how they were reacting and growing or struggling. It's just an absolutely beautiful piece of character storytelling for something that is such an ingrained existing piece of history. I was going to do a separate individual episode about Heike Monogatari, and I probably still will at some point. But I have said a lot about it just now, but it's cool. I'll talk about it in more depth, maybe in a separate episode. But yeah, so that's why the Heike story. I mean, the original, the translation for the title was The Tale of the Heike, but Heike Monogatari is a fantastic anime. Probably my anime of the year. I'd have to really stew on it with thinking about like Megalobox Nomad. And given that Ranking of Kings isn't finished, that one I'll kind of pull out of the running until next year. Okay, runners up. We have 86, the second season. The only reason I'm putting it as a runner up instead of maybe a favorite is because it is not finished because of production issues. And so there are still two episodes left to air. I mean, it's a great show, great adaptation. Again, I have not read the novels yet, but it is a fantastic anime series. But due to production issues this season, they've had to delay the final two episodes. And so it's not over yet. There were actually quite a few other shows in the fall that I've been quite enjoying, or rather quite enjoyed because a lot of them have finished now. But another one that I'm going to talk about that isn't technically a fall show, it just kind of exists during, it aired during fall on YouTube, I guess, but it's the Gundam Breaker Battle Log that was on YouTube. It was a couple short episodes. It wasn't anything crazy or special, but I did enjoy it. Or at the very least, the battles were cool and the designs for the Gundam were cool. And I can't wait to buy and build the Gunpla kits based on them. Okay, yeah, that is all of the seasons for 2021. And if you've been waiting to hear the shows that I didn't watch but still want to, thinking maybe your favorite's on that list, well, here is that list. It's not super long, actually, but it's full of shows that I've heard or seen quite positive buzz around and that I was interested in the first place. I just didn't get around to watching it for whatever reason. The first one, Odd Taxi. It actually recently got a movie announced, but I've heard very good things about it, and I do really want to watch it. It's on my list. Next up is Vivi, Fluorite Eyes Song. It's another series that I've heard or seen quite a positive buzz around. I do want to watch it. It was on my list in the first place. I'll get to it. And lastly, it's a PA Works show that I always like to watch, and it just this one I didn't start, and I'll get back to, which is Aquatope of White Sand. And to wrap up this year in review, there's a couple anime movies that I watched, and a few that I haven't yet or wasn't able to this year that were actually, it was a really strong year in terms of, well, they're all adaptations, but adaptations of some of my more favorite things that I do like. So first up, Gintama the Final. I love Gintama. Gintama is one of my top favorite series of all time. Easily, hands down, love Gintama. The final movie was fantastic. It was such a good and satisfying way to say goodbye to one of my, if not one of my top favorite series ever, total. It was beautiful. It was sad. It was happy. It was cathartic. It was hilarious. I love Gintama, and it was definitely something I'll remember saying goodbye to now. We have another kind of finale, which is the Knights of Sidonia movie, Love Woven in the Stars. I have the manga sitting over on my shelf. I've watched the first two seasons on Netflix. I thought the movie was really good. I overall like Knights of Sidonia a lot. I like the author a lot and his other works, and it was cool to see the conclusion to our story. Following in the mecha genre, we have Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway. Hathaway blew me away. That movie was so good. I cannot wait for the next one. Visually, one of the more stunning pieces, or had some of the more stunning scenes that I've seen in quite a while. I'm very interested to see and watch what they do next story-wise. I know it's based on Hathaway's Flash, a novel that is very popular within the Gundam fandom. I have not read it. I'm only passingly familiar with the material and kind of the overall plot, but this was a stellar start to this movie series. It was really good. Then we had the third My Hero Academia movie, The World Heroes Mission. I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. The animation, as always, by Studio Bones was spectacular. The fights were amazing. The villain's ability was interesting, like the ability to repel things. It was cool watching him fight against it. As a plot, it's kind of a a typical My Hero Academia movie. It's a self-contained story that does technically like threaten the world kind of thing, but it's contained in terms of the events because it can't impact the main series story, which is fine. It doesn't need to. I liked the side character they introduced as the other lead. It'd be kind of cool to see him again in the main story in some fashion. It was a good movie. All of them My Hero Academia movies have been good movies so far, really. And then there's the Sword Art Online, the progressive... No. Sword Art Online, the movie, progressive, Aria of a Starless Night. What a mouthful of a title. I talked about it last week on the podcast, actually, and I only just recently saw it, but if you want to listen to hear my full thoughts on it, go listen to that episode. But suffice it to say, I liked it. Yeah, just go listen to that episode. I dive into the whole thing. And then wrapping up, we've got a couple movies that either I missed the screening of or hasn't screened yet or just have yet to watch. There's a couple movies that are on my list that I really want to go see or be able to see. First up is Belle. It's actually coming to theaters in like a week or two here in the US, so I've been looking forward to that for a while. I've already got my ticket for the IMAX screening, but it's technically a movie from this year, so I figured I'd mention it. Next up is Josie the Tiger and the Fish. I think that screening got canceled because of the pandemic. I don't remember, or maybe I missed it because of I was like moving or something. Whatever. I really want to go see that whenever it's available again. I should actually look. Is that available? Oh, okay. Yeah, Funimation licensed it, and I missed it because it was in the middle of me like settling my house purchase. Okay, yeah, looks like the Blu-ray is on pre-order, so it's not out yet either, and it's definitely not available for streaming. Okay, so I wasn't able to watch it after I missed the screening in theater anyway. Well, I'll watch it sometime. Turns out that was also a movie from 2020. Watching anime films in the US is, or outside of Japan, is kind of a little frustrating. Anyway, next up is Pompo the Cinephile. If I'm recalling correctly, this is the one where the screening was canceled because of COVID. Josie and the Tiger I just missed because I was buying a house. And yeah, Pompo, I think, was the screening, the in-theater screening was canceled, and so I didn't get to see it then. But looking it up now, apparently it's going to screen in theaters in 2022 at some point, thanks to G-Kids. Oh, okay, so I can still see that one in theater. Cool. I have the manga sitting on my shelf that was recently released, but I haven't read it yet. Oh, looking forward to that. And then the last one, this one is on Netflix now. I just haven't gotten around to watching it, but it's Words Bubble Up Like Soda Pop. I really have been meaning to watch that. I've been interested in it. But yeah, that is the final last thing. That was it. That is everything for the last episode of Docupied of the Year. My 2021 anime and review. If I, for some reason, didn't mention your favorite show, it's not because I didn't like it. It's not because maybe I didn't watch it. Maybe I didn't watch it, I don't know. But this is just my personal list of favorite surprises and special mentions for each season for the year. It's hard to believe another year's gone by. I'm actually surprised at myself that I'm continuing to fairly consistently make episodes of the podcast. So, hey, here's to me. Or not, I don't know. Maybe it's been less consistent than you like. Sorry about that. But this is it. This is the last episode of 2021. So I hope all of you have a great new year. And I'm going to leave you off with, I guess, maybe my biggest surprise of 2021 in terms of anime-esque related, maybe sort of things, which is that I've watched a ton of HoloLive English over the last... whenever I started watching, I've really enjoyed their live streams overall, both Myth and Council, and obviously Iris with Hope. It's been such a nice addition to the year, watching all of their content, and somehow I was able to do that without really cutting down on most of my other hobbies. So, I mean, in fact, I've been able to watch that while picking up and starting to build Gunpla, which is my other next, you know, end of year special mention. Is I started building Gunpla again, which I did a whole episode talking about it if you're curious. And so it's been, I've rediscovered some hobbies, discovered some new things that I've enjoyed. It's been quite the year. And if you're curious about my favorites for Halloween, I'll just leave you with, I guess, a top five. Although I do enjoy all of them and watch them for different reasons, but I do watch some more than others. And I watch no one more than Amelia Watson, my resident time-traveling gremlin gamer. And then there's Calliope Mori, or Callie. I've listened to her music almost nonstop since I discovered it. Some of her latest singles, like End of a Life, or her collab song with Boogie Vox, Crown, are just some of my favorite songs that came out this year. I've really gotten into watching Mume Nanashi. She's such a fun, trolly little owl. Iris's music has also been a pretty good repeat on my playlist. She's gotten a lot better and more used to streaming. It's just very enjoyable. Her karaoke stream's also really great. And then Bales Hakos is, as part of Council, has just been... Bay is just such a fun, enjoyable, upbeat, happy, nice person to watch. So they're all great, though. They've all got their strengths. I watch all of them. Like, I don't not watch any of Halloween. And so I did want to just close out the year by talking about some kind of anime-adjacent thing that I've been really enjoying. And speaking of Halloween, I believe Ame has a member's karaoke in a couple of minutes, so I'm going to wrap this episode up so I can go listen to that. So thanks for listening. Follow my Twitter, I am DocPay, for updates. And please, if you like DocuPied, leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Every review helps. Have a happy new year. See you in 2022. I'll catch you next time.